gate. Had to open the gate this morning. Good to see everybody. Praise the Lord that though as vile as he, the transgressor, so are we. Yet Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. That's why we're here this morning. Amen. Amen. We are here to honor the Lord, to celebrate our risen Lord. It's not Easter. It doesn't have to be. Each and every day is Easter, where we celebrate him. So thankful that we have resurrection power this morning to live the Christian life, to live in a place of victory each and every day. So good to see everybody, and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. And I wonder if we have any first-time visitors with us. If this is your first time, if you'd raise your hand. We have one in the back, and maybe we can get an usher or someone to get a visitor's card to her. She's very good. Already in place. Good job, ushers. And if you just fill that out, be so kind to fill that out and put it in the offering plate. As the offering plate goes around, we'll have a record of your visit, of you being with us. And I know we have a couple others visiting with us, so welcome this morning. And so grateful that you're here. Always want to say thank you to those watching on Facebook. So very thankful for you watching and tuning in each and every week. And we hope that you'll be blessed right from your place of watching, wherever that is. We have some watching overseas. We have some watching in the States. We have some watching in living rooms, some watching in cabins. We have people watching everywhere, and we're so very thankful for that. And I do like to say that we also have a small radio station with our transmitter that we have, and it picks up locally here in Powder Springs. And so along with our audio stream live, we have on our webpage, www.calvaryministries.org. And so be sure to tune into that. So the gospel is getting out. We want to make much of Jesus today. Be glad you're here. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Feels good to be here. Appreciate the good song this morning, a cappella, right out of the hymn book, From Our Hearts to Jesus. That's the way to go this morning. I felt something off that, didn't you?
Amen.
Amen. Let me mention a few things this morning before we pray. Good to have Brother Harold with us. I know he's been weak in body and been army crawling to church, but you're here, brother, and so good to see you. But let's certainly lift up Brother Harold in our prayers. And of course, Miss Dawn Capistrano, continue to remember her as she recovers from her surgery. And let's also remember the Teagues are here this morning, but Miss Connie's brother went home to be with the Lord, Brother Tom, and they had a family, just a small gathering last Thursday up in Kentucky, but I believe it's going to be on the 8th here at the church. We'll have memorial upstairs and celebration of life, and then they will have a time with their family downstairs in the fellowship hall just after. So remember that. Just remember her family. Spoke with Miss Connie a while here and there about this, about her brother's passing. I know that they moved him to the hospice care center in the hospital there, and he was suffering from in his stomach. It left me a bleeding ulcer, and they couldn't treat that because of his level of life. And so shortly after, he went home to be with the Lord. But he was ready, and he is celebrating this morning. And so let's just remember her family, though, in prayer when we pray. Also, Brother Alan Clayton, let's remember him and his MRI and scan he had on Monday. And he's also going to be having surgery on Wednesday. And so let's remember Brother Alan on his surgery on Wednesday. And in fact, we want to have special prayer at the conclusion of the service for him. And we try to do our best to do that for everyone who's having surgery, to have just a special time of prayer for you during your time of medical. Yes.
It's tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of people leave me out here to drop and die. And my wife loves me. Y'all see that. And so that's on Monday. So thank you, brother. Thank you, Christy. Praying for you. We'll have special prayer.
Awesome day.
Yeah. She sure does. She sure does. And you do as well. But we'll have a time of prayer for Brother Allen here in just a little while. And good to see the Rawls with us, back with us. And I know you've had a situation, a surgery or two. Have you had your second surgery yet?
Sir.
How you doing with that? Getting better. Praise the Lord. Miss Marianne Sanvies has some success with her foot recovery. At least she did Wednesday night. Okay. Praise the Lord for that. Brother Harold?
I'd like to ask a special prayer for my granddaughter.
Yes.
They've been treating for the last year and a half, so the scent.
Yeah. That's all right.
But there's about four or five specialties doing all these tests. Even they think it might be some kind of GI thing.
Yes.
But they decided it's not the same.
Okay.
So, she's been miserable for a long time.
Yes, sir. I remember
like,
you telling me. Yes. We had her on a prayer list a while back. Not sure what happened with that, but we'll certainly be praying for her, and we'll add her to our special prayer time this morning. All right. Remember these things. Also, save the date, the 30th of this month, which will be the very last Sunday of this month. We normally, as we do, every last Sunday of every month, we have a time of fellowship downstairs, but we're going to have a fall fellowship centered around the fall time, Halloween, at least give a substitute for those as the world celebrates it with going to haunted houses and things like that. We're just going to have a time of fellowship here, giving out candy, maybe a trunk or treat. We'll see how it goes, but just remember that. That's going to be a great time together. Don't miss it. Please be here. We need you here for that. We need everyone. Yes.
Sorry,
go ahead.
We also have a bucket down front. If
okay.
If you want to start bringing candy, that gives us a while to gather it up. You'll just put it in the bucket up here, bags of candy.
Bags of candy. Got a bucket right here. My right, your left. Remember that. Mary Kelly. Sure will. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that this morning. While we're on the subject, does anybody have any unspoken requests? You can raise your hand this morning. God knows about it all, sees it all. And got both hands up over here. And all right. Well, just remember these things, and let's move forward in the service this morning if there's nothing else. And I want to pray, and then I'll give it back to Brother Allen. Father, we love you. We are a thankful people this morning that the doors of our church are open. A lot are closing due to lack of attendance, Lord. But I'm thankful, God, that our doors are open. People is here. We're so very thankful our children's home is back. Lord, they've been down in Florida. Thank you for protecting them while they were there from that storm. And Father, we do lift up all the storm victims from Hurricane Ian, that you would be with them, help them, Lord, repair their lives, dear Lord. And God, we're just so thankful that our home is back with us in service. And I know we got a special or two maybe this morning, at least I hope so, before preaching time. And God, just thank you for Brother Allen standing so faithfully, even when he's not feeling well. We lift him up to you. We will have special prayer in a little while, but we just pray that you'll be with him this week with the scans, the tests, the surgeries. And those you have touched, Lord, we praise you for. Those that need a touch, we ask you to touch them. And just meet with us in a very personal, special way, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you're going to notice things are a little different. You may have noticed it already. Brother David is out of town today. He's traveling, be coming back sometime this afternoon. So we have some talent in the church. It won't be me, but it will be mostly CJ. But I sure do like to hang a guitar around my neck. So if it's okay with y'all, I'm going to hang with him this morning. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're here for one reason. Would you agree with me? And that is to worship the Lord. Amen. We, again, it might be a little bit different than what you're accustomed to here at Calvary, but I hope you enjoy it. We're going to sing some songs that you know, maybe a couple that you don't know. But we're going to worship him. We're going to praise him. Y'all just relax, and we'll join. We'll get you to join with us here in a few moments. But again, choir, if you'll stand with me. If you want to turn and you want to go ahead and be ready, we're going to be singing page number 120, Victory in Jesus. And then we're going to swap over to 390. 120 and 390, that'll be There's Power in the Blood. But first, you pray, and we'll see if we can get through a few songs this morning. But I'm glad to know there's victory in Jesus. Would you say amen right there?
Amen.
All right. Worship with us this morning.
Y'all pray for 10 seconds while I go do my guitar fit.
You would think. I'll tell you what, while we do that, let's get the ushers to come on down, and that we'll go ahead and get taken care of this morning. But let's ask the Lord to be with us during service, during song service, and ask God's blessing on the offering this morning. Father, we love you, praise you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity once again that we have to be in your house. Now, Lord, I pray that you would touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know exactly what is needed for the finances here at Calvary. Now, God, I pray that you would accept our worship and our praise today. We'll give you thanks for everything that's accomplished. Lord, save someone here today would be our prayer. And we'll thank you for it all. Be with our pastor as he brings a message in a few moments. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Thank you.
How he gave his life on Calvary to save.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of
all
the
Lamb.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Thank you all for indulging in me this morning. I always wanted to be a praise and worship leader. But there's just one minor detail. You really need to be a great praise and worship leader. Brother Allen, that's the ability to sing. The Lord lets me pick a guitar, plunk a piano, thump a drum. But He will not let me sing. Okay? I can't sing a lick. So anyway, I appreciate this
praise
morning.
Praise the Lord.
Listen, I always say the Lord knew what He was doing, because I'd be Elvis Presley up here if I could sing. I'd be just over the top. Y'all'd never let me back in here. But I tell you, I thank the Lord for music. I thank the Lord for my family. I thank the Lord for so much more, including that car alarm, than I could ever begin to tell you about. But we've got one more song to do. Some of you may know it. In fact, most of you have probably heard it, right? My father-in-law and I both know this song, which means it stretches many decades.
Whoa! Easy.
M-I-N-I, small decades. That's a, no. No, but most of you should know this song. We hope that you'll sing it with Brother Allen.
Y'all remember Hee Haw? He's picking, and I'm agreeing. Did you come this way this morning, though, to open your heart and worship the Lord? That's the song we're going to sing. It says, open the eyes of my heart. And now we cheated a little bit, and we're going to have the words on the screen, so you don't have to remember them all.
I sing now. Open the eyes of my heart.
What a blessing this morning. What a blessing. Victory in Jesus. Honey in the rock. A couple Sunday nights ago, we preached on honey in the Bible. And I made a comment in that message. I'd love for us to learn that, and evidently someone did. And thank you, Miss Shiloh. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a surprise. And I just want to say this morning that there's honey in the rock. Samson said that there was honey in the carcass. And we are rummaging our way through this old world called the wilderness. And while this world has nothing totally fulfilling for us, while we can find some sweet spots in the Lord Jesus Christ in this land of the wilderness as we make our way to heaven. What a blessing this morning. I tell you, the service has had an all different kind of flavor, and so it's been a blessing to be here, and kind of a blessing to be able to stand once again. Pick this pen up so I don't trip on it and fall. And this morning we're going to be in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. And I'm going to mention something here this morning that I hope will be an encouragement, a blessing, and a challenge all at the same time. I feel like if whenever we preach and teach, if we can be a blessing and a help and a challenge all at the same time when we've fulfilled our time of standing in any particular service. I do want to bow for a word of prayer and slow things down a bit, and then I want to begin reading out of verse number 1 down through verse number 8 this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for who you are and for what you do, God. Thank you for the service this morning. Thank you for our visitors. Thank you, Lord, for what you're trying to do, God. You're trying to show us that, trying to show us another side of you that's refreshing, and that how that every Sunday can be refreshing. Help us always remember to come ready to be a blessing and pour into others. I pray, Lord, that you would use this time of reading and our attempt to teach and preach. Use this, Lord, as a time of blessing and encouragement to your people. Holy Spirit, do what I can't. Give me a clear head and a calm heart, and I'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Let me stop for a moment and say that the believers were going through great trial and tribulation. They were scattered. They were scattered. Verse number 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. I want to stop again. Before you can experience the peace of God, you have to experience first the grace of God, the saving grace of God. Cannot experience the peace of God without first experiencing the saving grace of God. A lot of people try to experience the peace of God apart from the saving grace of God, and they experience no peace at all. It's always short-lived. Verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's a whole lot said right there, just in those verses. Verse number 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then verse number 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. We're going to stop reading there. That's reading 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 down through verse number 8. The Apostle Peter is the writer here, of course. He writes the first epistle and the second epistle, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, just with that very truth is an encouragement. How that God can take someone who was wretched, poor, blind, miserable, blind spiritually, miserable, who was a hard-headed fisherman by trade, and how that the Lord could touch them and save them and change their life. And they can go from casting nets to writing scripture. That's an amazing thing. This morning, Jesus is still in that business where He wants all of us. He wants those that are lost to come unto Him and bring your load and bring your cares unto Him. He wants those of us that are saved to do the same thing. But this morning, Peter, he saw Jesus with his own eyes. He followed Him after He said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." He followed Jesus. Keep in mind, it was his brother, who wasn't mentioned much at all in Scripture, Andrew, that got saved first. And then he findeth Peter, his brother. And now it's Andrew and Peter following Jesus. They have left their nets. They left their experience. They left their pride. They left everything at the door and followed Christ. And so he saw Jesus. He followed Jesus for 3.5 years. And he saw his death. He saw his burial. He saw his resurrection. Peter was an eyewitness of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw Him, he heard Him, and he witnessed His resurrection. And because of this, he is qualified to be an apostle. This morning, there are no new apostles since Jesus' day. Now, the word apostle has a double meaning. It means a delegate. It means a messenger. But it also means one of the chosen, or one who has seen the risen Lord. And it really doesn't matter on any church sign that says apostle so-and-so. They're not an apostle like Peter was an apostle. They may be a messenger. They may be a delegate. But they're not a true apostle that has seen Jesus. Now, Peter is writing people in his first and second epistle. He is writing other believers who had never seen the Lord. And they were going, as I said a moment ago, they were going through a time of separation from family and friends and places of familiarity. And they're going through a time of suffering because of their faith. They are now being persecuted and killed. And again, they've been scattered abroad, the Bible says. And so Peter, being the saved man that he is, and having a soft spot in his heart to encourage others that Jesus gave him, he writes this down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this first and second epistle. He does this to encourage them. He does this to instruct them, and he does it to challenge them at the same time. Many, many topics are in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. But this morning in particular, I want to call your attention to verse number 8. Because while Peter seen Jesus before and after the grave, there were some who have not seen Jesus after the grave, or before the grave for that matter. But he encourages them, and he says in verse number 8, "Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Excuse me, full of glory. I got a full glass of water this morning. Praise the Lord. I was diving deeper in that glass than I thought I was. Started having a splish splash. Praise the Lord. I started to bubble. But notice verse number 8. He says, "Whom having not seen, ye love." Again, many of these believers had not seen the Lord, and they were scattered abroad. So he tries to encourage them. And this morning, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, if I could. Sightless love. Sightless love. Let me give you an illustration. A lot of people do this blind dating thing. They meet someone online and maybe they've spoke a couple times. Maybe they've seen a photo of that person or maybe not. There's this online dating. And I'm not knocking online dating. I know some Christian couples who met online. But I am knocking this morning blind dating, and I'll tell you why. Two reasons why I'm knocking blind dating. Number one, it would be extremely dangerous to meet someone you've never met before. And can I say that the news every day that it comes on has the accounts of people who have been raped and robbed and murdered. In fact, there's an ongoing case right now of a lady. She wasn't on a blind date, but they have recording of her telling her daughter that there's a key under the flower pot. They're not going to let me live. That's all they have. That's all they're working with. And the lady was found naked, tied to a tree, been assaulted and murdered. It was a mother. Again, I'm sure that wasn't a blind date, but I want to say in all seriousness, that's one reason why I'm against blind dating. But number two, the reason why I'm against blind dating is because you may think you're meeting Jill, but it might be Bill. You ever thought about that? You may think you're meeting Jill, but it may be Bill. And you may think you're meeting Bill, but it may be Jill. God help. Go to church, do what you're supposed to do. God will make sure you meet that one you're supposed to. That's what happened to me. And so there's this blind dating. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible doesn't mention none of that. And according to Scripture, it is not like that at all. He says again in our text, verse number 8, whom having not seen ye love. How can we love someone with a real, genuine love, although we've never seen them? How can we do that? Well, that's the goal today, is to just talk about three things concerning sightless love according to the Bible. Number one, I want us to notice the possibility of sightless love. Look again in verse number 8. He says, whom having not seen, ye love. It is possible this morning for us to have a true love for God, although we've not seen Him. It is possible this morning to have a passionate, caring love for Jesus that motivates us to move toward Him. Although we've not seen Him, although we've not touched Him, it is possible to have a true, genuine, passionate love that works like a magnet that moves us and steers us and directs us in life, although we've not seen Him. It's called sightless love. Sightless biblical love. He says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So it's possible for us to have a true love, a genuine love, a passionate zeal, a strong pull for Jesus this morning, although we've not seen Him. The question is, why do we love Him? Why is it this morning that we love Him? Why do you love Jesus? Why do you love Jesus? Those on Facebook, why do you claim to love Jesus? Why does any of us claim to love Him? Why do we go to church? Why do we pick out very carefully praise music and choir music and sermons to preach and Sunday school lessons to teach? Why do we come to church and why are we moved toward God for? Why do we love Him? I'll give you the answer for that. It's found in 1 John 4:19. I'll give it to you. We love Him because He first loved us. That's why we do what we do. That's why, although we don't see Him and we can't touch Him, we're moved by compassion and we passionately pursue Him. It's because the Bible tells us that Jesus loves us. That's why we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Jesus loved us before we ever knew Him or ever even heard of Him. He loved us. over 2,000 years ago, while he was on the cross, you were on his mind this morning. That's enough to motivate someone to accept him in his salvation and live for him. While he was on the cross, we were on his mind. The Bible tells us that even before being in our mother's womb, he knew us. He shaped us. He allowed us to be birthed into this world. Praise the Lord this morning that he knew us before we were even conceived. And praise the Lord this morning that he fashioned us in our mother's womb and allowed us to be birthed into this world, and more specifically in the U.S. of A. Praise the Lord that we were born here. And because of all of those things and much more, we love him, although we've never seen him. Praise the Lord this morning for the soul that bends a knee and says that, I know if I don't accept you as my personal Savior, according to Scripture, I'll go to hell. Lord, you have a purpose and a plan for my life, and I have not accepted your plan for my life. I have not accepted you, Lord. I am aimlessly roaming around this world with no complete fulfillment of heart, Lord. I accept you. Be the Lord of my life. Show me your plan. Let me say that God does have a plan this morning. And praise the Lord that when we do accept him, he begins to unfold his plan and show us the path of life. He begins to pick up our feet and direct us in the ways that we should go, although it may be scary sometimes, and although it may not make sense sometimes. And sometimes God has us going this way when all of our friends are going this way. And we want to go that way, but we say, no, we're going to follow Jesus. And because of that, we go this way. Can I say this morning that Jesus will either make your friends flock to you, or Jesus will make your friends flee from you. But because of all of these truths, we love him. Jesus saved me November 19th, 2020. Getting ready to celebrate 20 years of salvation. That's a lot for me. Back before I got saved, I was a drinker. I was a drugger. I was a high school dropout. Let me say this before I say something else. I get in trouble by saying high school dropout and not finishing my education of telling everybody. My wife gets on to me. I finished my education. I went back, got my GED. I went to seminary, graduated 6 years in a row, got my doctorate degree. I went for the education. God's the one who indoctrinated me. But let me say this. God's the one who took my life. I walked into that gym that night, November 19th, 2002. My brother had gotten saved. And I was working there, and I started my hour. I clocked in and all of that, and I began to ring people up who were leaving the gym. And my brother said, have you thought any more about the Lord? I said, I have, a whole lot, actually. I said, do you think if I died, I'd go to heaven? He said, Justin, if I drop dead right now, you'll go straight to hell. He said, you'll go straight to hell forfeiting all the plans that God had for you, all the purposes God had for you, and all the blessings God had for you. You would forfeit all of that and you would burn eternally in hell. That's what he told me. I said, well, I want to get saved then. I've tried, and I told him, I've tried every high you can try. Staying out all late, coming in when the sun's coming up, and all of those things, and nightclubs, and in Atlanta, and Buckhead, and bars, and all of that. Wasn't even old enough, but I was doing all of those things. They never brought me satisfaction, church. They never fulfilled me ultimately. And so on November 19th, that particular day, I said, I'm done. I'm done with all of it. Right here, right now, I want to get saved. He says, well, you got to believe that Jesus died for you. And he was buried and he rose again for you. I said, I believe that. He said, you want to pray after me or you want to pray? I said, I want to pray. For the first time, my chin started to quiver. I put my arm around my brother, and he put his arm around me. I said, Jesus, I am a sinner, and I will go to hell unless you save me. I am firmly persuaded right now I'm about to die and go to hell. I am so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm so sick and tired of smoking and drugging and doping and doing all of those things. It never brings me fulfillment and ultimate happiness and joy. I accept you in my heart right now. Save me. Be the Lord of my life. Change my life. Give me your purpose and your plan. I remember saying that almost 20 years ago. We started to cry and hug. Opened up that office door in the gym. Rock and roll music playing. I even think it was Hell's Bells by AC/DC was playing. Picture that. And we were the Hells Brothers. And we started going through that place. My brother said, he got saved. He got saved. And I said, I got saved. I got saved. And started going to church. And the next day or so, I had an old friend call me. Hey, Justin, you want to come hang out? I said, man. I said, I already told you what happened. I got saved. Hey, oh, I know about all that. Hey, if we're smoking pot, you can go in the other room. I said, man, I don't even want to be around it. He said, Justin, I don't understand you. And he actually came over to my grandma's house. He's sitting on the front porch with me. He said, you know everybody's talking about you. They're all calling you a hypocrite. A hypocrite, really? For not doing bad? He said, oh, yeah. He said, they're all talking about you, how you said you'll ride or die with us, and you'll be with us to the end. I said, look, man, that's the old Justin. The Bible says that guy you're talking about is dead. But I see you right here. I said, this is the new me. I have been spiritually resurrected. That explains why I don't like being with you anymore. I can't explain everything, but I don't want to smoke it. I don't want to drink it. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to be with any of you. I don't care what you stand for. You disgust me. That's how I said it when I first got saved. I mean, just raw, uncut gospel. Now, that part was from me, but... And make a long story short, that's why I'm here this morning. 20 years in a relationship with someone I've never seen. 20 years invested of my life into this person called Jesus, the Savior of the world, that I never met. Why? How could it be? I'll tell you why. Because when I first learned that Jesus loves me and died for me and was buried for me and rose again on the third day while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. When I heard that he had a purpose and a plan for me, I wanted to accept it. And I want to tell you, my relationship with Jesus, and I boldly say this under the influence of the Holy Ghost, my relationship with Jesus is a lot more intimate than a lot of people's relationships with their spouses. And that's the truth. And I want to tell you this morning, because of him we sing, because of him we shout, because of him we teach, because of him we bring in children and love them and give them a father and a mother that they never had. Because of him our doors are open. Because of him they'll never close. Because of Jesus, one day we're going home to heaven when he splits the clouds and comes in the sky for us, called the rapture of the church. And I welcome him this morning. Come, Lord Jesus, even come. Come right now. Leave these troubles behind. Drop this robe of flesh is what will happen. This morning, if you have never met the Jesus by which I'm preaching about, the invitation is open even now. Would you come meet him? Those watching on Facebook, the gospel is coming through our video camera phone to you where you're at. You are hearing the gospel. He died for you, and you can be saved today. Today. Are you saved this morning? And I'm just going to preach like there's somebody in here saved. Or like I have no knowledge of anybody's salvation. I know better than that, but I'm going to preach it like it is. Do you know you're saved this morning? Do you know him? Do you follow Him to the best of your ability? We are all fallen creatures. We're all carnal. We're sold under sin. We have these bodies that are condemned to sin. And Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death?" He goes on and says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ." We drag around this old man with us, but all of that to the side. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? He has a plan. He has a purpose for you, and He wants to unfold it. Don't die and go to hell with all the blessings of God still mounted up in heaven. And so we see the possibility of sightless love. He says, "Whom having not seen, ye love." All right, so therefore, when we get saved, we begin to read the Bible. We learn of His great love for us and feel His great love for us. And in response to that, we love Him. So this morning, there's the possibility of sightless love. We love Him because He loved us first. It's a relationship of faith and love. Number two. Not only the possibility of sightless love, but the preeminence of sightless love. Turn to Colossians chapter number 1. Again, this message is to encourage, but also to challenge, starting with me. The preeminence of sightless love. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. Listen to this. "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Now the word preeminence here, it means hold the first place. It means to be first is what it means. And so He is talking to those at Colossae, Paul is, about Jesus having first place. This person that we've not seen and say that we love. If we say that we love Him this morning, what does the Bible teach? That we will follow Him. If we say that we love Him, we will obey His commandments. We will allow His commandments to be center focus, for Him to be center focus in our life, for Jesus to be our centerpiece. And everything we do revolves around that centerpiece. He's the focus. He's the center. He's our pull. He's our love. He's our passion. And what He wants us to do, we're careful to do that, though we don't always succeed. Listen, He says that in all things He might have first place. This morning, the question is, does Jesus have first place in our lives? The preeminence of sightless love. Does He have first place? Is He the one holding the first rank in our life? Does he dictate everything we say or do? So this morning, as we consider the love we have for God and the preeminence that He has in our life or should, we also think about self-love. All this morning, we love ourselves more than we want to admit we love ourselves. We love ourselves so much, we don't miss a meal. We love ourselves so much, we make sure we watch that Braves game. Miss Mary Kelly. And by the way, first place, Brother Allen. Sorry, Larry. We love ourselves. We make sure that we eat. We make sure that we're full. And we make sure that we're happy. And sometimes we love ourselves so much. When we eat and when we make sure we're happy, sometimes it's not even biblical. Is that right? Sometimes we love self and sometimes we feel like we deserve something so much that we even move Jesus from being in first place to second place. Now, why would we do that? We do that because we know that Jesus is not for what we're wanting to do. But we say we love Him. We Well, if we love Him, why doesn't He have the preeminence over everything? Amen. So this morning we have love for our, we have self-love. Then there's the love we have for others, the love we have for our family. On our love scale, we have love for friends. We have the love of things. Then there may be the love we have for the world. And so there's a competition within our hearts every day of who's going to get love first. Who's going to get love first this morning? Is Jesus going to get love first? I'm preaching to me. Trust me. I ask myself every day when I wake up, am I going to love Him first? Or am I going to love Justin first? If I love Him first, my day is a day of purpose. My steps are guided by Him. Even if catastrophe hits, if I love Him first, I'm going to be okay. Well, let's go over here. If I love Justin first, I don't have the assurance that he's guiding my steps. I can't say if catastrophe hits, I didn't have something to do with it. I can't claim those. Now, does God have a way of engrafting both of those together? Yes, He works all things together for good. But who wants to learn from default? You know, the Bible talks about it's better to enter into heaven with one eye and one arm. I don't want that to be me. And you can draw your conclusion to however you want to with that statement. But I'm trying to make a point here that when we choose to love Him first every day, then He's the one steering our wheel. And come what may, He's in control. But we choose to take the wheel every day. And listen, they don't have to be bad things for us to take the wheel. I'm talking to adults right now. We have responsibility in marriages and lives and jobs. Sometimes it just happens without really thinking that deep about it. We just, Lord, You're going to be my co-pilot today. You know, You're going to be with me, but I got to go. Jesus, I got to go this morning. Don't you know? I got to go. And so over time we learned how to kind of, I guess, do both at one time if it's possible. But then that runs its course. And then we ultimately realize that we have to wholeheartedly, with all of our heart, put Jesus first. Jesus, thank You that I'm even alive today. Thank You that I'm vertical and not horizontal. Thank You that I'm being seen and not viewed. You know what I'm saying? Thank You, Lord, for those things. God, You know what kind of day I have lined up. I got to do this and that. This deadline's here. That deadline's there. And I really need to do this and that. But Lord, I'm old enough. I've been saved long enough. I'm old enough in an age to realize, to know that if I do not put You first and spend some kind of quality meditation with You in the morning, everything is going to end bad. And most of the time it does. And even when we don't include Him first thing in the morning and everything ends well, it was still not blessed by the Lord. Although He allows us to be blessed, what I'm saying is He didn't put His approval on the beginning of that day because we didn't start with Him. Now, the preeminence of sightless love. Colossians teaches us that Christ must be first in all those categories. He must come before self-love. He must come before love for others, family, friends, things of this world. The Lord Jesus must come before girlfriends and boyfriends. The Lord Jesus must come before cell phones. Teenagers, cell phones. Did I say cell phones this morning? Jesus must come before cell phones. Please listen to your parents. They know what they're talking about. The web is not called a web for nothing, because you fight to stay out of it. Now, I told Lily when we got her a phone, and I ain't going to say nothing. Don't worry about it. I deal with her privately. I'm not going to embarrass anybody from the pulpit. First of all, held out till she was 15 to get one. Ninth grade, praise the Lord. She has been schooled in a lot of areas with cell phones. But I told that young lady right there, this phone, and all of you other young people, listen to me. I have the right to say this right now because I have a teenager and I'm the pastor of the church. Your cell phone, if you are so graced to have one, it is a tool and not a toy. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I'll even move it back to us adults. If we have a cell phone, adults, it's a tool and not a toy. So many people are getting in trouble on cell phones, and I'm so sick and tired of hearing about these apps and friends and talking and communities, social communities and fighting and pictures and videos. And you see this one, you see that one. Listen, I'm a daddy speaking this morning. Stay safe on the internet. Your cell phone is a tool and not a toy. And I got a pretty good feeling. I know who your parents are, and it can be taken away. Be safe. Jesus, listen, mom and dad and some of those good godly friends say, put Jesus before your cell phone. Listen to them. While I'm on this soapbox, right now there are some ungodly. I never come down here. Y'all know I don't. I'm coming down here this morning. Right now, I'm even going to pace. Right now, this morning, there are some ungodly challenges. You listening to me? Snapchat, I'm getting all up in everybody's grits. Snapchat, TikTok, anybody uncomfortable this morning? Anybody on Facebook uncomfortable? Snapchat, TikTok, what's some others? I really don't have to name any others. I'll tell you what, if you have to do a challenge to have a friend, that ain't your friend to begin with. Amen. And your friend, who supposedly is a friend, putting you up for some TikTok challenge that could put you in jail or cause, I'll even say it, or even cause an early pregnancy in your life, that person needs to go. Amen. I wish we can return back to the stages of having the age of having beepers. You know? I used to have a beeper. It beeped so much it sounded like the Roadrunner. Me, me. Me, me. Listen, I know what it's like going around carrying a pocket full of quarters. And I was born and raised, believe it or not, in the 80s, early 80s, when there weren't even cell phones. Lily cannot believe that. But you know what? I had some great times playing in the woods as a little boy, Brother Allen. Creeks, Brother Larry. I'm telling you, we called it the dirt hills behind my grandparents' house. There was a forest. There was trees separate my grandma's house from this big open area. And kind of find out it was an industrial area where they dump stuff. Not the dump, but trees and vegetation. But it was dirt hills and mounds of hills. And we'll go snake hunting. And we'll play war. We actually got out there with pellet guns and shoot each other with real pellet guns. What happened to those days? They are gone. They are changing. But guess what, parents? We've got to adapt to these days. And cell phones are a part of it. The web is a part of it. Please, 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 young people, treat it as a tool and not a toy. Please. Let me move on. I'm just trying to say that Jesus needs to have first place over technology. So does Jesus have first place in your life? If he did in everyone's life, if Jesus had first place this morning in everyone's life, there wouldn't be an empty pew. If Jesus had first place in everyone's life, if they can't come, I'm being gentle, and they have to watch. I would go back and look at Facebook and we would have over 1,000 views. We have maybe 50, 100 on a good Sunday views. And I praise the Lord for it. Does Jesus have first place? Now, they may be watching, going to church somewhere else, and that's fine. But does he have first place? If Jesus had first place, we'll be coming to church more, not less. You say, I can't stand the preaching. Go to a different church. Or if you're not getting fed, and no one's getting fed, maybe you need to tell the preacher to leave. The point is, if Jesus is first, you'll make time for him. The devil tries to crowd our schedule with all kinds of things. And again, we have good intentions, and we're people who are responsible. And sometimes it happens without even knowing it, we drift. When Jesus is first, everything else follows suit. When Jesus is first, things that will be agreeable to Jesus will follow. Look, I know this is easy preaching and hard living, but it must be preached. It must be preached. Amen. Lastly, and I'm done, we see the possibility of sightless love, the preeminence of sightless love, but then the power of sightless love. 2 Corinthians 5:14 for just a moment. They want to go ahead and make their way with some kind of invitation this morning. Is there real power in love? Yes. Those that are married know that. When I first met Christy, she didn't have to tell me to do anything. It wasn't at that point yet for her to tell me to do anything. Amen. But I would do things just because I loved her. Flowers. Chocolates. Sometimes just me being there. I'd do the gifts. I'd wash her car. I remember when we were dating and she lived in a mother-in-law suite at a couple from church, First Baptist Mableton. It was an older couple. Went out there and hung lights on her patio. Bought her a brand new Bible. In fact, the Bible she has today is the one I bought her for when we were dating. I've changed Bibles 100 times. She holds that Bible dear to her heart because it came from my heart. You do things when you truly love someone. And I want to tell you, we met, and then like the next weekend I was going to Biloxi to see my parents, riding with my grandmother and family. And she was all thought about the whole trip. We even went on a boat and went fishing to an island. And I was so far away from Mableton, Georgia. I missed her so much. I thought I was going to die on that island. I did. I just knew when I got back home what I was doing. And so a few days later and 500 miles, I made it back home. Rinsed off my old baby blue Buick Century 1990 with white wall tires, and I burned rubber all over her house. I didn't care about anything I had going Monday. I didn't care about anything going on. I was going to make sure she was loved first because I loved her. Love her still, of course. Church, this morning, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for him loving me first, I would never met her. Lily wouldn't be sitting there. I wouldn't be in this church. Never met you. Never been to any church. If I've never got saved, I'd probably be in the cemetery. I mean that. When love is in the equation, there's power in love, even if it's sightless love. Sightless love. If we truly love the Lord, we do not have to be begged to serve him. Lastly, when people do not serve the Lord, they either do not know him or do not love him or have grown cold and indifferent. Today, love for Jesus ought to be our motivation to serve him. And we love him because he first loved us. 2 Corinthians 5:14, and I'm done. Paul says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The word constraineth means twofold, to hold together. We all can agree that God's love holds us together, but it also means compel. Compel. It's through the idea of being overtaken like a fever. Something has come over you. You are compelled to serve. His love holds you together. This morning, there's power in sightless love. Jesus gives us power to become the sons and daughters of God, and He empowers us to live for Him. Father, this morning we love You. We thank You for the message. We thank You, Lord, for touching us. We thank You for the song service, Lord. We thank You for all those who are here, our visitors, those watching. God, You know the kind of heart that this message came from. It just came from a heart that wants to help and be a blessing. I pray in the next few moments, if someone was touched or they need to pray or they just want to come down and praise the Lord, having nothing to do with the sermon, that's why we're here. We love You today, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come pray, want to pray, want to praise, come on down this morning as we pray.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Is there anybody else this morning that wants to come? You can come. You can come. We're going to have a special prayer in a moment for Brother Allen.
In His presence daily live, I surrender all. I surrender.
Anyone? All right, well, invitation is still given. Brother Randy, if you want to keep playing. Brother Allen, I want to ask you, brother, if you would, just go down front where you just were and have a seat. Just like to pray for you. And softly playing, pray for your surgery. And while all eyes are on you, we're going to be lifting up Brother Allen in prayer. And let me say this, as we do get ready to close, we're going to lift up Brother Harold, your granddaughter. And if anybody else this morning has an urgent prayer, something on your mind and heart, God has to move, will you just come on forward? Feel free to. I know we have an invitation going, but if God has to move in your direction, you need His help, you come forward and join us in the altar this morning. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. That's why we're here. We've come, we've preached to get to this point. And if you'd like to come and put your hand around someone to pray for them, you come on down. Brother Ceylon, if you want to join us in the altar. Brother Brian, would you come on down, brother? And you might say, well, Brother Justin, you going to do this for everybody? I try to. I really try to. Because I know if I was having surgery, I'd be nervous. And again, there's several needs going on this morning, several things taking place. We just want to lift everybody up in prayer this morning. I know it's getting late, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love, Your kindness. God, we love You because we know You loved us first. And standing before us this morning are some people that are represented, Lord, of the different needs they have in their life. Brother Allen is here. God, he's having surgery. And we just lift him up to You, Lord. I pray that, dear God, You would be with the MRI, the scans on tomorrow. Lord, the surgery on Wednesday. Let that doctor perform his very best he ever has in this particular area of surgery, Lord. Let him get sleep. I pray that Brother Allen would be calm, God. You'd give him peace and of course, Miss Terry, there's support and family. We're thankful for that. We just pray, God, that You would be present. And we know You will be. We pray that You'll just allow him and his medicines to be regulated so that he'll feel better. We love him dearly here at the church and his family. And Father, for Brother Harold's granddaughter, we pray for her in a very special way that You would touch and move and help and just relieve of any pain or discomfort. God, You know what she's dealing with. And Father, we have others this morning that are down here. I called men of God down here to pray. Lord, you know the situations, again, that are present. So I pray that you would just involve yourself in their situation. Move in a mighty way. Get glory as a result of what's going to happen, God. We can't worry about it anymore. We can't fret over it anymore. It's got us nowhere but just in a rut. So we cast all of our faith and care upon you for these people represented to this morning, my church family. And Father, I love them, and I know you do, most importantly. And we love you today, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. All right, well, we'll be dismissed from the altar this morning. Thank you for coming. And I know we, of course, 5 o'clock evening service. We
have no choir practice.
No choir practice today.
Me and
Brother Allen and Miss Catherine will be tonight. Of course, Brother David's out of town, so he'll be back next week. But be expecting some more new things coming from the music department. We're excited about it. And so praise the Lord. We're looking for great things to happen from the platform all the way to the front door. All right. We love you. Have a great afternoon. Meet us back at 5 o'clock. You're dismissed.